the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting to you live today back in Louisville, Kentucky. And very glad to be here. And all over America right now, families are already beginning to gather together. This is entering into one of the most hectic travel periods in the American year. Airports are filled, so are train stations and the interstates increasingly. And by the time you get to tomorrow, an incredible percentage of the American people will be on the road headed for a Thanksgiving celebration. It is amazing, is it not, how quickly the schedule immediately turns to this kind of holiday. And we ought to be very, very thankful as we're thinking about this Thanksgiving season that we do have the opportunity to be together with family in these coming days. I hope even now you are either with family or are making preparations to be with family for the Thanksgiving holiday coming up in just a couple of days. Let me just tell you what's going to be going on the program. On tomorrow, we're going to have a very special email edition of Ask Anything Wednesday. We do this from time to time because so many people send in good questions on matters of grave concern to themselves. We find out what the conversation's like around the dinner table in homes, over the neighbor fence, at the PTA meeting, in the local church, in the business place, on the university campus. By means of this, I just want to invite you always to send in your questions to mail@albertmohler.com. Just go to the website, www.albertmohler.com, and you can hit the mail button there, or just send us a mail at mail@albertmohler.com, and tomorrow that'll be a very special program. Then we're going to have a special Thanksgiving Day program, and others through the end of the week. You can count on the fact that we are going to be here for Intelligent Christian Conversation, even as we hope you are with your families, and we'll have some special program editions for the remainder of this week. Today we're going to be talking about the front page cover story in yesterday's edition of the Wall Street Journal. It's one of those articles that gets your attention because it tells you that we're in big trouble in ways that many people perhaps haven't even really thought about. For instance, here's the question. Where are the parents? What happens when you have parents who are really the enablers for the misbehavior of their children? There have been a couple of big news accounts related to this. Why, just about a week ago, there was a story about parents complaining that they were being arrested for enabling the drinking of their kids and their kids' friends at parties being held in the parents' home. In other words, you're allowing your kids, your teenage kids, have a party in your house, and you're going to allow them to drink even though it's against the law. Now, the front page of yesterday's edition of the Wall Street Journal has a headline entitled this, Freaked Out, Teens Dance Moves Split a Texas Town. School leaders in Argyle, Texas banned hip-hop grinding, but parents back, quote, good kids. The article's by Susan Warren. We're going to be talking about it in just a few moments, but it goes to Argyle, Texas, where the school superintendent outlawed grinding dancing, very sexually suggestive and sexually engaged dancing, and he got in trouble not just with the students but with the parents because the parents said, our kids are saying their proms and school events now just aren't fun. It just makes you wonder whether these parents have any clue about what parenting's about. We're going to talk about what that means in an Intelligent Christian Conversation. And to join that conversation, call us at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is one of those stories that just demands a good, informed, intelligent conversation. We should all be concerned right now with the nation of Bangladesh, where a cyclone has killed at least 3,100 persons. 1 million persons are homeless. The staggering nature of this natural disaster really does defy the imagination. Local experts there on the ground in Bangladesh, and you almost have to say on the ground, knowing that much of it is now underwater, they are now estimating that the death toll could quickly reach 5,000 to 10,000 persons, and now health organizations are warning of a second wave of death that is likely to come with malaria and other infectious diseases coming in the aftermath of all of this. Others could die of starvation. You're looking at 1 million persons homeless. Just think of all the cities in the United States that have roughly 1 million persons, and think of that many persons displaced by this cyclone. This powerful cyclone is one that is just in a series of those that have hit this beleaguered nation. And even as the United Nations are estimating a million persons left homeless, many of those are in remote areas without any predictable food supply. So relief organizations are rushing food. The United States, the United Nations, and others are rushing assistance. But let's remember, as we are enjoying a Thanksgiving meal with our family this week, that there are many right now around the world who are desperately in need of basic food and shelter. And we need to do whatever we can to help those as well. All kinds of controversy going on in mainline Protestantism over the issue of homosexuality more often than not. And at my website at albertmuller.com, I posted an article yesterday, which I left up today because I really want it to be there for your attention. It is entitled, Never in the Closet, The New Face of Homosexuality. And we discussed this on the program last week, but I put the documentation up just overnight yesterday because I wanted you to have the opportunity to see it for yourself. It comes down to the argument that we are experiencing a moral sea change on the issue of homosexuality, that in a process of just a very short amount of time, the culture is changing its understanding. And, of course, there are those within the church who are suggesting the church must do the same. Now you have developments such as that in Baltimore. The Baltimore Sun is reporting that members of the largest Presbyterian denomination in Baltimore are calling on their national body, that's the Presbyterian Church USA, PCUSA, to change the definition of marriage to permit same-sex couples. That's the first time the national group has considered such a change. Delegates in Baltimore have approved a petition seeking to remove references that restrict marriage to a man and a woman in the Presbyterian Book of Order, which serves as the denomination's constitution. Now, it's really interesting to see how the Baltimore Sun explains the controversy. It says right now Presbyterian ministers can bless the relationships of same-sex couples in services called, quote, holy unions, end quote, but cannot perform same-sex marriages. Last week's vote by the Baltimore Presbytery, which represents 74 churches and 20,000 members in Maryland, was 76-71 in favor of the language change. Now, one of the most interesting aspects of this news coverage is how those opposed to this proposed action are treated and how they're cited. The Reverend Stephen Carter of Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church in Columbia, Maryland, said, as he is opposed to this proposed change, that he's opposed to the recognition of same-sex marriages, he says, quote, it's a painful position to take. I believe that we have to speak the truth, but we have to do it with love. Later on, he says, when it comes to leadership positions and when it comes to the role of marriage in the biblical picture of the world, that is intended to be between a man and a woman. Then he makes the amazing statement, quote, there are times when I wish it wasn't so clear, end quote. Now, I guess there's a part of me that understands something of what he meant there, which is, if the Bible didn't speak to this, we could just go with the flow. But it's hard for me to imagine that a pastor would say that he wishes the Bible wasn't so clear. I mean, we should actually be very thankful that the Bible is abundantly clear on these issues, and our responsibility is to accept that clarity with the authority with which God speaks through Scripture. Now, interestingly, this same pastor, Stephen Carter, says that he doubts he will continue to advocate against this proposal because church members are actively working on housing and social justice issues. This is what he says, quote, I don't want us to get involved in a fight over something that in the long run is just going to make somebody very unhappy, end quote, he said. Now, I will admit to you that it's possible this man was quoted somewhat out of context. Living and operating in the media, I know it's very easy to have something taken out of context, but assuming that we have to take this at face value, that's one of the most pathetic statements I think I've ever seen from a church leader. Someone saying, I know the Bible's clear on this, but I don't think I'm going to press the issue because it's just going to make somebody very unhappy. There are times when it is our responsibility as leaders to make someone unhappy if what they propose to do is contrary to God's word. Keeping persons happy is not the main charge of the minister of the Word of God. Faithfully teaching what God's Word reveals is the pastor-teacher's responsibility. The preacher is to preach the Word in season and out of season. And as a matter of fact, Paul warned Timothy against giving itching ears what they want to hear. Now, when you tell persons the truth and they don't want the truth, it may make them unhappy. But it is nonetheless the responsibility of the faithful pastor to do just that. It's hard for me to imagine a pastor saying, I know the truth, and after all, in this article, he's already said that the Bible is abundantly clear on the matter, but he says, I'm not going to press the issue because it just might make someone very unhappy. Well, unhappy is the way some parents are now described in Argyle, Texas, because their kids have been told they can't do grinding dances during school events. The school superintendent came up with the policy. He thought it would have the backing of parents. But the parents are backing the kids who are involved in these sexually engaged and sexually suggestive dancing by saying they're good kids. They ought to be allowed to have fun. It makes you wonder if there are any parents left. Are there any adults left? The Wall Street Journal thought that this deserved front page placement. I think it's good for our conversation as well. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The Wall Street Journal, yesterday's edition, the headline, Freaked Out, Teens Dance Moves Split a Texas Town. School leaders in Argyle banned hip-hop grinding, parents back, quote, good kids, end quote. The story is by Susan Warren. It does take us to Argyle, Texas, where there was a practice which is now spreading throughout the country known as freak dancing. Here's how the story begins. Karen Miller, 53 years old, saw her first freak dance 4 years ago when she was chaperoning a high school dance attended by her freshman daughter. One boy was up close to a girl's back, bumping and grinding to the pounding beat of the music. I thought, that's just nasty, she recalled. It really made me sick to my stomach. She took the initiative and broke it up. School employees at the dance seemed oblivious, she said. They're oblivious no longer. A new resolve by school officials in this booming Dallas suburb to crack down on sexually suggestive dancing and skimpy clothing has sparked a rancorous debate over what boundaries should be set for teenager self-expression. Argyle, that's the town, joins a long list of other schools around the country that have banned the hip-hop-inspired dancing known as grinding or freak dancing. But in Argyle, a once-sleepy farming community strained by explosive growth from an influx of well-to-do suburbanites, the controversy has gotten vicious. Some parents blame the newly installed school superintendent, Jason Cianz, age 35, for ruining their children's October homecoming dance by enforcing a strict dress code and making provocative dancing off limits. Now, get this. The Wall Street Journal reports that given these rules, the kids, some of them, were disgusted and they left the dance early. The school superintendent said he fears that current cleavage-bearing dress styles combined with sexually charged dancing could lead to an unsafe environment for students. Quote, this is not just shaking, well, I'm not going to read that, he said. This is pelvis-to-pelvis physical contact in the private areas and then moving around. To make his point at a community meeting, he recently said, he showed a video pulled from YouTube. Then he said, quote, I cannot imagine that there is a father in this room who would watch this video and be all right with a young man dancing with his daughter in that fashion, he told the gathering. But there are others who are suggesting that it's the school superintendent who's just out of line, and I expect there would be students, teenagers, who would make this case. But what is stunning is how many of their parents want to make this case. There are parents who are trying to get rid of the school superintendent because he has these rules. Now, listen to this. This is explained in the article here in the Wall Street Journal. It says, speaking of Mr. Cianz, the school superintendent, and his efforts here, he says, it's going to be an uphill battle, according to dance experts. In the age of round-the-clock music videos on television, iPods, and computers, teenagers are just copying what they see. Grinding has been around for a long time, but it has been getting raunchier as videos keep pushing the envelope. Quote, now this is a very interesting point. Listen to this. This is from Gino Johnson, a Dallas area choreographer and producer specializing in hip-hop. Listen to this statement this person makes. Quote, if you're dancing to a song that says, shake that, shake that, shake that, it's kind of hard not to shake that. Now, that's really interesting. This person is saying, listen to the words. The words are sexually suggestive. And what they're suggesting is what these kids are going to do. It's really hard to say, do this, do this, do this, shake this, shake this, shake this, and not do it, not shake it. That leads, doesn't it, to the prior question as to what kind of music, what kind of event, what kind of anything would be acceptable for young people? I think the bigger question, so far as I'm concerned, is where are the parents? Why would parents fight for their children to have the right to do this? Why would they suggest that it's the school superintendent who's out of line? You know, this just gets to the whole question of whether there are any parents left. You know, in how many school districts do we hear that one of the main problems is that whenever a child is disciplined, the parent wants to take the school district to court? you know, we now have a situation in which the inmates are coming dangerously close to running the asylum. And in this case, in many ways, it's the inmates' parents who are suggesting that that they ought to be given free expression. I'd love to know what you think about this. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, we believe as Christians that there is a God-ordained structure to the institution of marriage and the family. We believe that it is parents who are to hold children accountable, to discipline their children, to teach their children, to set boundaries for their children, to hold up a model of conduct for their children, for expectation, to expect their children will obey and do what is right. You know, but it's not only that we are satisfied with external obedience, we have to be absolutely clear that that is mandatory, but we also are looking for what they would desire in their hearts. And in this case, you have kids who are desiring to be sexually involved in this dancing and to be in this immodest attire, hip-hop music, very suggestive lyrics and all the rest. It's bad enough that parents would be satisfied their kids would even desire this. It's even worse when parents are suggesting they need to have access to it. This school superintendent is doing something which I think obviously should deserve the praise and gratitude of the community. But instead of being praised and receiving the gratitude of the community for actually trying to parent these kids from the perspective of setting the rules at school events, he's being castigated by the parents as if he is the problem. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'd love to know what you think about this. This is a time for parents to speak up, and let's remind ourselves what parenting is all about. Let's go to Marianne calling from Fort Knox, Kentucky. Go ahead, Marianne.
I think part of the problem, Dr. Mueller, is that parents are not parenting anymore. We've got a buddy system. The only real difference in the parents and the children are their chronological age, but not really a mentoring system that's going on. You've got the emotional equivalent of a 17-year-old and a 47-year-old.
You know, interestingly, Marianne, one of the fashion trends that that we can read about right now is that the clothing worn by moms is beginning to mirror that of their daughters rather than the clothing of the daughters beginning to mirror that of the adults. Is that what you see in your community as well?
That's exactly why. I haven't seen it here. The Fort Knox schools are a Department of Defense school, so they're pretty conservative in what's allowed. But we were last stationed in Florida, and at the open house at my middle school child's school, I was shocked at how the mothers of the children were dressed. And honestly, how the male teachers were able to focus on anything except what the women were and were not wearing.
You know, it's very interesting, Marianne. I was talking to some people the other day about the problem of what is now rightly termed ubiquitous pornography. That means pornography everywhere. Advertising, television, entertainment, not to mention explicit culture-recognized pornography. And it's strange that what we have happening now is that people are beginning not even to see it anymore. And that doesn't mean that they're thus not aroused by it or attracted by it. It means that advertisers and others using this have to become more and more explicit. They have to lower barriers all the time. They have to go and break another boundary and move to the next level in order to get the same level of scandal, the same level of attention. And that's just a part of where we live. Marianne, I really appreciate your call. And it was very interesting. You know, Marianne dropped something in that conversation, and that was that because she is there at Fort Knox, her kids are in Defense Department schools, they're a little more conservative. That is interesting. Maybe in something like the military, someone still remembers there's supposed to be order in the society, and that you start allowing chaos, even at this level, you're going to have chaos everywhere. I think there's probably a lesson to be learned right from that unusual angle. The phone number is 877-893-8255. I'd love to hear from some parents. And, you know, I'd be very interested to hear from someone who says they think the school superintendent is wrong. Just let the kids do this. I think one of the most amazing things is that the parents in this article describe the kids involved in this freak dancing, which they're admitting is explicitly sexual. There's sexual arousal and sexual contact going on here. They're saying these are basically good kids. What constitutes, then, a good kid? Just because they're your kid? The phone number 877-893-8255. We'll be right back with your calls.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I found it very interesting that the Wall Street Journal will put this article front and center on the front page of yesterday's edition. And yet, I think it's one of those news stories that really does catch our attention because it tells us, boy, you know, things are worse than we thought. We are really living in a confused age when parents are defending their kids in this kind of behavior and demanding they have the right to do it. One parent is quoted here. This is a parent, Barbara Roberts. She says she spent $400 for her 17-year-old daughter's dress only to have her leave the dance after a few minutes, quote, because it was such a dud, end quote. Why was it a dud? Because the school superintendent didn't allow freak dancing, which is sexual contact grinding dancing. Let's go to Lee calling from Waverly, Ohio. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to hear from you. What do you think of this?
Well, I think it's appalling, really, that you know, you finally got a superintendent that's willing to take a stand against something and then, you know, have all these parents throwing a fit about it. I think a lot of it can be attributed to the fact that there's less and less fathers in the home, and, you know, I think without a father figure in the home, that things like that are more likely to happen, and I think that's a bigger issue that we've got to see.
Yeah, you know, Lee, let me give you a little support for your argument here. When you look at this article in the Wall Street Journal, you will see moms who are defending their kids, but you find dads who are defending the superintendent. It says here, our community needs to show these students how much we value them by not allowing them to devalue themselves. That was said by Spencer Jeffries, father of a sophomore girl who supports the superintendent's efforts. Now, I think also, just to support what you had to say here, and because I think you're obviously right, the school superintendent showed this YouTube video to parents of what happens in this freak dancing, and then he said, quote, I cannot imagine that there is a father in this room who could watch this video and be all right with a young man dancing with his daughter in that fashion. Now, let's just say something really politically incorrect here, Lee, and that is that it is a father's responsibility to protect the integrity of his daughter, the safety, the chastity, and the character and integrity of his daughter. And one of the purposes of a father, one of the talents and roles of a father is to know how males think and to realize what's going on in this kind of dance situation and to make sure that doesn't happen with his daughter. Shouldn't allow it to happen with his son either, but in particular to protect his daughter. Because sometimes women, and evidently that includes both daughters and moms, as this article would seem to imply, simply don't understand what's really going on here, or at least in one sense, we almost hope they don't understand. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're talking about the front page article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal about the efforts of one Texas school superintendent to outlaw immodest dress and freak dancing among teenagers, and then about the parents who are suggesting that he has no right to do this. Let's go to Joanna calling from Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, Joanna.
Good evening, Dr. Mohler. Thank you for your show. This is providing much fodder for our family, that in the Wall Street Journal article. And I guess I would suggest, are we dealing with spiritual warfare here? Because Satan can take us in as parents with feet of clay and let us allow our children to become addicted to a pop culture which dishonors the God that we are supposed to be serving.
You know, Joanna, I think one of the clearest indications of the devil, of Satan at work, is moral confusion. He is the author of confusion, and that's exactly what we see here. I can't think of any better parable of confusion than having parents who are trying to become the facilitators of their children's bad behavior. And not only bad behavior, sexually immodest behavior, sexually impure behavior, sexually suggestive, engaged behavior, immodest dress, and all the rest. And it's not just the good old boy culture, which you find in some communities where, you know, you might have the men saying, let the boys be boys. That's bad enough. That's wrong. Morally, biblically, unquestionably wrong. But when his mom's saying, let the daughters, you know, be involved in the same way, that's just some barrier has fallen in the civilization for us to get to that point. And I think Lee is right. I think the absence of fathers in many cases is one explanation of that. I think an awful lot of behavior where teenage girls are involved would be very, very different if the dad was engaged, if the dad was there, and if that boy who has a date with that girl or is trying to have a relationship with that girl knows he's going to answer to that girl's dad. The school superintendent has done the right thing. The parents are saying, some of them, he's got to go. I'd love to know what you think. There's still time for you to call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back. You know, there are so many issues that are related to this. You've got parents who are helping their kids to violate the law by holding drinking parties in their homes. That's made the front page of the New York Times, other papers as well across the country. Big issue right now in California. Several cities are breaking down on this. Back in the Texas picture with a Wall Street Journal article, and the location here is Argyle, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. One of the things that is related to this is the fact that many of these kids are immodest in other contexts as well. And this is something my wife Mary brings up with me regularly, as Facebook and MySpace pages of kids reveal some of the most immodest photographs, some of the most sexually explicit messages. And looking at this Wall Street Journal article, it is interesting that this erupted in the midst of this controversy. An anonymous blogger went through the kids in the high school there in Argyle and through their Facebook and MySpace pages, pulled some of these immodest pictures and put them up on a blog. The blog was later removed, but the point was made. He wrote on his blog, quote, "These are some of the pictures your little angels have posted on the World Wide Web." You know, parents, let me just make a statement here, and I promise you I will stick by this. It may offend some of you, but if so, maybe you need to be offended. If you have teenage children, much less younger children, but teenage children, and you allow them internet access, and they have MySpace or Facebook pages, and you're not patrolling them, shame on you. If you're not holding them accountable and you're not checking them out, you are derelict in your duty. And I believe that with all of my heart. They are exposing themselves to the world. And if you don't know how your own minor children who live in your house are exposing themselves to the world, then something's wrong with your parenting. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Karen, listening on WFIA, calling from Corydon, Indiana. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes, Dr. Mueller. Thank you for taking my call. Actually, this superintendent should stand firm. The public schools already have policies in place on appropriate appearance and conduct within the school hours. It simply needs to extend to this after-school activity. In fact, in the state of Indiana, we actually have anti-bullying initiatives that go on where students' verbal interactions are even monitored. I think the big issue here is that the parents are shocked because it's just one more standard that they have to enforce with their kids, and they simply don't want to do it. They would rather be their child's friend than their child's parent, and that's the sad thing about it.
You know, Karen, when I hear you say that, I know you're right. I mean, I know there are just a lot of parents out there who would rather be a friend. But it seems to me that, you know, just to take the old thing, friends wouldn't let friends freak dance. You know, that's the way I'd like to think it would work. But evidently, you're exactly right, it doesn't work. That would make a good bumper sticker, though. Friends don't let friends freak dance. But unfortunately, these teenage friends do. By the way, you know, parents have to be able to recognize really insipid arguments, really irresponsible arguments when they're made by kids. One boy here, Philip, I won't mention his last name, he's 17 years old. He's quoted in the news article. Listen to this. At one of the school meetings on the issue, this boy, Philip, 17 years old, said he told the superintendent that teens are dancing the only way they know how. Quote, "If it's all we know how to do, then what else are we supposed to do?" Question mark. Now, I mean, that you need to disclassify. Put it over in your most stupid arguments ever heard, Ben. That's where that belongs. But it made it into the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, there's some parents out there who undoubtedly thought, yeah, the kid's right. If that's all they know how to do, then what else are they supposed to do? Well, number one, that just begs the whole question as to whether they should be doing anything like this in the first place. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, where Fritz is on the line. Go ahead, Fritz.
Thanks for taking my call. We've been spending a lot of time talking about the improper, you know, conduct that's going on. I was wondering if you could take a couple minutes to talk about what the standard of conduct should be for unmarried, you know, particularly in this case the teenagers, what the standard should be for physical contact.
Well, you know, this is a controversial issue, and Fritz, you really put me on the line, and that's perfectly fair. I would simply say any kind of contact that is likely to lead to sexual arousal is wrong. And so, you know, I'll be honest to say that most Baptists, you know, are very much against dancing. And so, you know, Baptist churches generally won't do it, although Baptist church people are often involved in it. You know, I don't know how many churches these days even have rules about it. As a boy, I had lessons in ballroom dancing, which I think were more about learning poise and etiquette than anything else, because I guarantee you that middle school boys, junior high school boys are not excited about ballroom dancing. But I will tell you that as much as you try to come up with a rule for this, it seems to me that if you've got physical contact, if you've got no space between the bodies, and you have the kind of physical contact that you know is going to lead to sexual interest and sexual arousal, it's wrong. And the reality is that an awful lot of what's called dancing is basically just sexual activity that could be called by various names of sexual activity. That just takes place on a dance floor. And so, you know, Fritz, I don't know if that's helpful or not. I'd love to know what you think. But I think when it comes down to the fact that that I don't think there's anything wrong with the movement. I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong with, you know, the kind of dancing that that would go on in a more formal event. I would not do it, you know, and wouldn't sponsor it simply because I don't think it's without moral risk. But I think when you had the kind of no space between the bodies, and that leads to sexual arousal, you have a problem. Fritz, do you have any other standard you'd suggest? All right, Fritz is gone there. That is an interesting question. You know, what if you were a parent and someone said, well, then what kind of dancing? You know, I think one of the problems is this whole dance culture that has come up around the prom and everything else, because it does require, you know, by the way, there is a very interesting article I was reading in an historical journal just in the last day or so about the decline of the chaperone. People forget that chaperones used to be with couples, honorable couples, when they were dating. In other words, they wouldn't be alone. There would be a chaperone there. And the chaperone would often be an older woman, an older married woman or an older widow who would be along with the couple. And the idea is, look, even the most well-intentioned young people in a situation of romance and intimacy can quickly find themselves spiraling into an arousal pattern that can get out of hand. And even against what they had planned, they can find themselves in a situation of incredible temptation, more temptation than some couples can handle. But nowadays, it will be considered just bizarre to have a chaperone at an event like that, at a date, much less you worry about these dances and school events such as that pictured here in Argyle, Texas. You have to wonder, are there any chaperones there who are actually chaperoning? What do you do? You've got to watch every couple. You've got to watch the space. You have to watch the contact. And, you know, it might just be, in fact, I would suggest that it is better to come up with another way to get young people together to have fun other than something that takes this kind of monitoring and leads to this kind of controversy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This has been a fascinating discussion, and we always enjoy hearing from you, not only by callers, but also by email. Michael wrote in to say that this issue raises the question for him again of how long Christian parents can keep their kids in public schools. He writes, the Bible is clear that fathers are to take responsibility for the education and discipline of their own children. If we continue to render what is God's, that is our children, to Caesar, the government schools, why are we surprised by whatever they are taught? You'll find my treatment of that particular question in my article calling for an exit strategy, and you'll find that at my website at albertmueller.com. You'll also find it in my new book entitled Culture Shift, which will be available very quickly in your local bookstore, and I'll be talking to you more about that in days to come. In the meantime, let's get back to the issue of this Wall Street Journal article. I'll put a link to this article up at my website over the next few hours in order for you to be able to look at this yourself. I think it's one of those articles that ought to be printed out and probably shared between moms and dads and parents. Take it to your local church. You know, have a conversation with other parents, especially parents of teenagers, about this. If nothing else, this article might be a catalyst for Christian parents to remember, hey, we really are called to say no. We really are called to protect our daughters and our sons. We really are the ones who bear the responsibility to make sure these kinds of things don't happen. And where in the community you have someone like this superintendent in Argyle, Texas, who stands up and does the right thing, we ought to be there to support him. We ought to be able to say, yes, this is the right thing. And in fact, this is minimally the right thing. This already concedes, I would argue, far too much about the whole youth culture, adolescent culture, dancing culture, you name it. But at the very least, the school superintendent is taking the right step. It is appalling to think of these parents who are themselves seeking to be the agents of their own children's misbehavior. It's one of those things you just have to see to believe. And it is a reminder to us that all around us, in this postmodern age, we see an inversion of values. We see the structure turned upside down. It's now a situation that is reminiscent of that that was famously quipped by the Duke of Windsor, himself a rather notorious figure. As he was visiting the United States back in the 1960s, he said, "I love families in the United States." He said, "The parents are so obedient to their children." That's what it looked like to an outsider. But, you know, increasingly, when you start looking at articles like this, it's pretty much what it looks like to us. I'd love to hear what you think on the issue. The conversation's never over when this hour draws to a close, because you can always write us at albertmuller.com. You'll also want to look at the articles that are posted there and other resources just for you. Just go to www.albertmuller.com. Day by day, this is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. Back tomorrow with a special edition of Ask Anything Wednesday, as you are headed for family on this holiday. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmuller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmuller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.